through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
It's another free agent profile. We're doing these every single weekday at 1 p.m. heading up to free agency, looking at some of the biggest Seahawks unrestricted free agents. Now, we'll probably be taking a look, Jake, at a couple guys that are at least going to be facing some kind of contract decision that may not be free agents. For instance, Carlos Dunlap is not technically a free agent, but does have a completely non-guaranteed salary, making him a potential cap casualty. So we'll be talking about the team as a whole leading up to free agency on March 17th. But before we get to any of that, we're going to be taking a look at the guys that are actually hitting the market in March, whether or not they're going to be testing the waters with another team, coming back to Seattle, what they could bring the Seahawks. That list continues today with running back Carlos Hyde.
This is Jake and Stacy's off-season profile. A look at the key free agents, potential draft picks, and extension candidates for the Hawks championship run.
Let's go!
Free agent profile.
Carlos Hyde. Now, he was originally a second-round pick, Jake, with the 49ers. He had two 900-plus yard seasons with them, but his most productive season was actually a little more recently as he got into his late 20s. It was in 2019 with the Texans when he rushed for over 1,000 yards in six touchdowns. Now, he came into Seattle on a relatively cheap deal, 1 year, $2.75 million, to come in, add some depth to a running back room where you had Rashad Penny coming off of an ACL injury. That ended up helping out because Penny didn't make his debut until far later in the season. So you had the 1-2 punch of Carlos Hyde, Chris Carson. A great plan in theory, don't get me wrong. Problem is that neither quarterback could really stay totally healthy, and Carlos Hyde ended up starting just one game, which is fine. He's not a regular starter, but appeared in just 10 as opposed to appearing in 16 games with the Texans when he crossed that 1,000 rushing yard threshold. Now, the one thing that people are going to be looking at with Carlos Hyde, yes, he will be turning 31 in September, making him 31 years old at or during the start of the 2021 season. So normally anytime a running back hits that 3-0 benchmark, people are wondering when the production is going to be dropping off. Yes, he did not get near to eclipsing that 1,000 rushing yard total that he did in 2019. But he is cheap. He is a veteran. There was a difference on the field in his play when you watched him out there when Chris Carson was injured compared to DJ Dallas and Travis Homer. And not only that, but it's looking more and more likely that you're not going to have Carson coming back. So the question people are looking at may not necessarily be, hey, can Carlos Hyde come in here and be your star? It's, can Carlos Hyde come in here and add some help and a reliable starter to a running back room that could, for the first time in 4 years, be without Chris Carson?
Right, and I do agree with that. And when you're talking about with Carlos Hyde, to me, as you look at the difference in production between 2019 and 2020, there's some definite reasons as to why that was the case. One, he's splitting time with Chris Carson, and he was never designed to be the lead back to begin with. It was to be a change of pace guy. It was to be someone to take carries away from Carson so that you could try and keep Carson healthy throughout the season. Also, Carlos Dunlap did go through a couple stretches of games where he was injured, was not able to play. But his production, if you just look at yards per attempt, was the same, 4.4 yards per attempt in terms of 2019 and 2020. And so who knows what his production would have looked like had he gotten more attempts. He also was two touchdowns behind what he produced in 2019. So it was nowhere near the 1,000-yard mark, but in significantly less carries and significantly less time playing, he almost got the same amount of touchdowns. So I still believe that this is a guy that can contribute, and as you said, is an inexpensive option. And one of the things that he did do during the year that Chris Carson didn't do, which was take one to the house from distance. Here, cut number 10, here's his touchdown run against Washington.
Giving the ball off to Hyde, and he breaks free inside the 40, down to the 30. He's on the run, 20, 15, 10. He's going to go in. Touchdown, Seahawks. Chris Carson loosened him up, and Carlos Hyde makes him pay. as Carlos takes the touchdown in from 50 yards out. And the Seahawks extend their lead on this opening drive of the second half. 19-3, Carlos Hyde. What a run.
Oh, Curtis, you like that? You liked hearing Carlos Hyde taking the distance from deep? Okay, well, how about I fire you up some more with some Carlos Hyde muscling his way in for a touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals?
And here's Russ right back to the line of scrimmage. First and goal at the two. The handoff to Hyde. He is in. Touchdown, Seahawks. Thank you, 15-yard penalty, but the Seahawks muscle this one in on the shoulders of Carlos Hyde. Two runs back-to-back. Puts the Seahawks in the end zone and puts them on top now, 22-14.
Curtis Rogers all sorts of fired up back there listening to those two cuts. And Curtis, I don't mean to get you too hot and bothered here.
He's already sweating.
Let's go to cut number 12 and hear Russell Wilson talk about how Carlos Hyde, he's just so good.
Well, Carlos is a great runner. I mean, he had a tremendous job today. We knew we wanted to be physical with these guys, you know, when we did run it, and he was physical as could be. I mean, he had so many great runs, so many great plays. He was special today, you know, and he's been great for us, you know, when he's been in there. And so, you know, I love the type of runner he is, the type of person he is, too. And you know, he's a guy who's rushed for over 1,000 yards, done some amazing things in this league.
So when you talk about Carlos Hyde and what he can bring, when you want stability, you have a very unstable running back number one, which is Rashad Penny going into the year. Your former first-round pick who has yet to go into a season with over 100 yards, with over 100 carries in a season. That's scary. So to be able to balance that out and bring stability, I think it would be smart to bring back Carlos Hyde again. And as you said, he would be cheap. He would not carry a heavy price tag for you this season. And I think that with more carries and more opportunities, you would get more production out of Carlos Hyde than what you got this last season. That was not his role. It was not what he was asked to do. I think more would be put on his plate heading into 2021. But if you talk about the other guys that could fit that same role, you have James Conner that could be on the open market from Pittsburgh, Mike Davis from Carolina who used to be with the Seattle Seahawks. He came off of a pretty good year this last year carrying and receiving the football. Another one that stands out to me is Jamal Williams from the Green Bay Packers who plays very similarly to Carlos Hyde. But the thing that you have with Carlos Hyde is that you know what you're getting out of him. And you know that the style of runner that he is, the style of presence that he is in your locker room. And so I think that that is very attractive to Pete Carroll and John Schneider as they're trying to construct their roster. And if you're not going to be able to bring back Chris Carson and have a running back by committee type of approach, I think Carlos Hyde is a player that I think would serve well for them.
All right, leaving our free agent profile with a couple questions right now. Number one, let's say that another free agent, maybe it isn't Mike Davis, maybe it's someone a little bit younger like James White or something, who in all likelihood will probably stay with New England, but let's just say, would you spend $1 or $2 million more to bring that guy in over Carlos Hyde, who's going to be 31? All love to the 80s babies, but you could get an extra year or two out of another running back.
You could, but I'm not overly fond of trying to overpay for James Conner. I'm not overly fond of trying to pay for any of those names that I had just mentioned. So
do
on
you
a
not
one-year
like the
deal,
name James?
No, I'm fine with the name James. There's nothing against James Conner there, but I think that the overall production from Conner, I don't believe is legitimate long term. And I don't want to see the Seahawks pay. If you're going to pay for around $5 million for James Conner, why not pay $2 to $3 million more for Chris Carson?
Right.
Makes no sense to me. Why would you not do that? So if you're going to try and be, if you're trying to go the inexpensive route with the running backs, then go the inexpensive route and try to get the most production, the most bang for your buck. And I believe Carlos Hyde could easily be one of those types of players.
Now, second question. Are we expecting the Seahawks, who currently have 4 draft picks, if my math is right, maybe 5, but I think 4, should they take a running back?
Please no.
Why not?
Because I'm tired of it. I've just got fatigue from it. You could get Chris Carson in the 7th round. You could find another Chris Carson. But the other thing is we've also got DJ Dallas. We've got Travis Homer. you know, I don't know. Maybe it's
you're saying,
a it's
make
a,
one
it's
of those
a,
picks pay off. Maybe
correct. Yeah, make it pay off. If you're going to go running back, pay make it pay off. But it has not happened as of late. And Stacey, you've gone through a whole litany of guys that they have tried to draft at the running back position since Marshawn Lynch, and it has not been a very successful one.
Yeah. No.
Your seventh round pick, who you were not counting on being your leading back, is the one that ended up surprising you and becoming a really good special player.
Chris Carson has been the best running back that John and Pete have ever drafted.
No question. No question. I mean, it's not even close, right? And he was your seventh round pick. So it can happen, but ultimately I would like for them to wait, because I think that they have other needs that they need to address across their roster rather than running back. I would like to see them personally keep Rashad Penny. You've got Travis Homer, you've got DJ Dallas, and maybe you throw in, you know, Alex Collins or something like that to the overall competition. But I think that to me is where I would be placing my money with that particular position group.
Say that they cannot bring back Carlos Hyde. Say that they cannot bring back Chris Carson. Inevitably, our two conversations about these free agent running backs, Hyde and Carson, are going to come back to Rashad Penny, who's going to be who you're kind of banking on to carry that room. Do you think he can do it?
Doubtful. Based off of what I've seen, how can I say anything different?
Is his ceiling a guy that can do it?
His ceiling, yes. Yes. I mean, explosive, has been able to have very good flashes of being able to run between the tackles at times. I think he's a guy that needs the carries to be able to get the confidence going. And when he is a confident runner, and when he hits the hole hard, and when he's able to get the edge, he can be very explosive and very dynamic. But it's very hard to bank on somebody that has not been able to be there. Your best ability as a professional athlete is your availability. And Rashad Penny has not been able to be available for the Seahawks for an entire season, his whole career here. So really hard to bank on that production.
All right, that is our Seahawks free agent profile. This one on running back Carlos Hyde. Jake saying, look, if you're going to go the money-saving route, might as well bring back that veteran. You know he is tested. You know he's physical. You know Pete Carroll likes his running style. And if you're going to miss out on Chris Carson, bring in someone to add some depth to that room behind Rashad Penny. It's 1:15. That means it's time for NFL headlines. Now, if you guys were all looking at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers saying, you know what, I'm not too worried. They won a Super Bowl, but Tom Brady, he's getting up there. He's in his early 40s. I don't think they're going to be a dynasty over here. Well, don't get too excited just yet, because on the Rich Eisen show earlier today, Buccaneers general manager Jason Light said that the organization is seriously considering offering Brady an extension to keep him in Tampa for a few more years. Yeah, not just this year, not just next year. They are very seriously considering it. Now, obviously, this is a trendier headline, because here's the exact quote.
Oh, my God.
He certainly didn't look like he slowed down any this year, so that's a possibility. We'll have to see how it goes. Now, that's like way less exciting than saying we are going to bring him back, but
correct.
The fact that he is talking about this is incredibly telling. Also, he already said, quote, I talk to Tom often, probably keep that under wraps right now. It appears that he had a really good time this year winning the Super Bowl, likes our organization, our coaches, head coach, and ownership, and we certainly love him. We'd like to keep this going.
I mean, shoot, if he can continue to keep playing and he can stay at relatively the same level of play that he did this last year. Look, Tom Brady wasn't perfect, but he also threw 40 touchdowns. I mean, his leadership, everything that he brings to the table, I would, if I'm the Bucs, I would be doing everything I could to try and keep that around for as long as humanly possible, because it's going to be really hard to find the next replacement that's going to be better than Tom Brady. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with this at all. It's just, I laugh because it's amazing to me how this guy at his age can continue to win a Super Bowl and can continue to be successful. You just never can count this guy out until it actually happens. I believe he'll play till he's 50 if he can.
49ers GM John Lynch says he has no doubt Jimmy Garoppolo will be San Francisco's starting quarterback in 2021. And in fitting form, very, very on brand, our own Curtis Rogers picked up a gallon of gasoline, found an open flame, poured it all over, doused that open flame, and tweeted, for those scoring at home, the 49ers have squashed more trade rumors regarding Jimmy Garoppolo than the Seahawks have with Russell Wilson. Curtis, why?
Just pointing it out.
Curtis.
Just putting it out
there. You're making it worse, Curtis.
How dare you?
How am I making it worse?
Stop.
I don't know what I've done. This isn't my Russell Wilson's been sacked 835 times or whatever
tweet.
You keep
lighting fires and walking away as it explodes in the distance.
That's how you look your coolest when you're walking away from an explosion.
Curtis!
I want to look cool.
If Russell Wilson leaves Seattle, I will blame you. I'm not blaming John Schneider. I'm not blaming Russell Wilson. I'm not blaming anyone else. I will blame Curtis Rogers and your tweets.
I'll take that blame. And then there's that, at Seattle Sun Devil, I think. He's the one responsible for the Kevin Mather
Very
video.
Very cool story.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be the pariah. If it gets me more internet clout, I'll take it. That's really what I'm doing.
Anything for the clout.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. That's a dangerous, slippery slope there, my friend. But speaking of the clout, we were talking about mascot numbers and all that.
Yeah.
I was mentioning the Blitz. The Blitz DM'd me.
The Blitz?
Yeah.
You mean Blitz?
Blitz.
The Seahawk.
Yeah.
Well, we're friends, too.
Blitz the Seahawk. He said, I mean, you were not wrong about the millions for the number. But if you have any inside info as to anyone who wants the number and is willing to pay, 20% negotiation commission for you.
Wow, Blitz openly saying, yeah, hand out right now. If anyone is willing to be interested in this number that I'm wearing,
I mean,
let me know. I'm
he's
hurt
a, he's
that,
a, bu- he's
that
a business,
Blitz DM'd
He's
you.
A business bird.
He is I a mean, business bird. He's a business bird.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, he's
exactly
he's
right.
Very smart.
Very savvy. Moving on, Blitz, I'm so mad at you. Juju Smith-Schuster says he doesn't want to leave Pittsburgh. Now, that's all fine and dandy, except that there's going to be some pretty interesting salary cap negotiations going on here because they also have to figure out a way to keep Big Ben there with his $40-plus million cap hit, Jake.
Yeah, I really don't believe that this is going to be able to happen. Unless they get real creative with Ben Roethlisberger's contract, I don't know. Juju Smith-Schuster isn't going to take a hometown discount. He is not going to, take a contract that is under his value or what he can get. And I really believe that Juju Smith-Schuster has an opportunity to really, truly get overpaid here. Like, I think he's going to get overpaid by somebody in the open market. But if he's willing to do that, hats off to him and look, if you know you have a good thing and you're a part of an organization that you really, truly love, then maybe that is the best decision, but it's not for everybody.
In an interview, what was this, with GQ, I think, Alex Smith spoke out about his relationship with the Washington football team. He said that after his miraculous return, he felt like the team, quote, didn't want me, that he said that they hesitated to give him a fair shake once he made it to the active roster, and he didn't obviously make it out there until injuries to Allen and issues with Dwayne Haskins. And so, I don't know. I was reading this. His comeback is a miraculous story. Devil's advocate. And this is going to sound rough. Can you blame an organization for wondering if he can be the quarterback he once was?
I don't think that's rough at all.
I mean, don't either.
Why?
It's
I mean,
miraculous
I get,
that he
I get
did.
A player,
did
I get a player
why.
Feeling slighted in that situation because that's what players, that's what we do. Hey, give me an opportunity. Give me a fair shot. I'm ready to go, right? But if you're the organization, I mean, I would be very, very hesitant about putting Alex Smith back out on the field. And can he produce? Can he play? Can his leg hold up? I believe it's a very uncomfortable position, especially when it's a player that you didn't sign and that you didn't necessarily want or bring in. You love what Alex Smith does as a person. You love the mentor that he is. There's nothing wrong with that side of things. It's just more of, could he deliver? And he played a lot better than what I think a lot of people thought he could do. I mean, surprised a lot of people. Just being back out on the field itself was an unbelievable accomplishment for him. So I don't think Washington and their current staff is in the wrong here whatsoever. But I also don't blame Alex Smith for being frustrated in terms of feeling like everything had to go wrong for him to get an opportunity.
Let's talk quarterback carousel. Now, that's going to be maybe the biggest kind of broader NFL conversation this offseason. Where do all of these new quarterbacks land up if there are trades? One of the quarterbacks that's been a part of that conversation is Marcus Mariota, or as Roger Goodell said, what was it, Mariota? Marcus Mariota, Oregon, whatever, Curtis. I was hoping you'd have my back there, but that's okay.
No,
that's I understand. Well, anyways.
You're sinking on this
NFL
one.
Network's insider Ian Rappaport said that that trade market, though, has significantly dried up for Mariota. Why? Well, it's due to incentives in the quarterback's contract. Now, this is the issue, you guys. Rappaport says if Mariota is a starter and ends up playing the entire season, he can make an additional $12 million in addition to the $10 million he's already due. So you'd end up paying $22-plus million for Mariota. So according to Rappaport, quote, teams as of right now don't seem to think that's something that would be worth it, especially when you consider they'd also give up a draft pick to trade for him.
Very fair. I don't think Mariota is worth all that trouble. I really don't. But at the same time, if you feel like Mariota is one of those guys that, look, can be a stopgap for you in your system and the way that you could scheme things up for him, then maybe he is worth it. And at the end of the day, if he's getting that production for you, isn't that a good thing?
Yeah.
It probably means it's a positive. So I think we're in a unique year where the cap position right now due to COVID is forcing teams to think very differently than what they have normally done before. And we're going to hear in a matter of a week or two, Stacey, just before free agency hits, I believe there's going to be a crazy amount of activity that's going to go on. Restructuring of contracts, players getting cut. There's going to be a whole lot to keep up with in my initial thoughts of all of this. Stacey, we have a question from the texters.
Mm-hmm. No,
this is for Curtis. I'm sorry.
Okay.
The 206 says, on a rating from getting a center to Greg Olsen, how mad would Curtis be if the Hawks paid for Juju Smith-Schuster?
It's Greg Olsen. It's near there.
No, it's not,
It's very
Curtis.
Close.
You would be Greg Olsen level mad
Juju
if they brought
Smith-Schuster
in Juju Smith-Schuster.
He's overrated.
I don't agree with you, and I still wanted to join in a clap.
He didn't even average like 8 yards per reception last year.
He is not going to be a 35-year-old tight end. No offense to Greg Olsen.
You're
I am
right.
not
he's
on Curtis' side
before
with this one.
Even
Stop
getting to 35.
No, he is
he's
not,
washed up
Curtis.
Before he's 25.
You're going to be mad if the Seahawks bring in Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yes.
You're going to be angry. You're going to be Greg
Absolutely.
Olsen level angry. No, you're not.
Yeah, I will.
What about if they bring in Mike Davis?
Curtis. Oh, I'll be even worse. I'll die back here.
Curtis, please just tell the people that you just don't want him TikToking around here.
Exactly.
Please.
That's
You're
insane.
A hater. Whatever.
Well, yes.
All right. Can I throw in one little bit of news?
Is this news to me? No.
Really, really quick here. Washington's Pro Day. This just announced, correct? Just came out from their comms department that the Washington Huskies Pro Day will be March 30th. So.
Okay.
Just
All
a
right.
heads up, just so everyone knows.
There are some guys there, Joe Tyron, Elijah Molden, I always forget how to pronounce his name, Levi, the defensive tackle.
Owusu-Rike.
Thank you, Curtis. There are some legit prospects for Washington that have an opportunity to really make their case here, and it's going to be bizarre because one of the best things about Pro Day was you felt that nervous energy and that adrenaline by having all the scouts there around you, and it's going to be eerily silent. There's going to be nobody there. So that will be very challenging. I'll be curious to hear from draft prospects as to what that experience was like for them, because from my own personal experience, it was really cool. It was really fun being able to look around and see all the head coaches and GMs and scouts and all that from all the different teams.
Now, Curtis, what would you say is the hottest team in the NBA right now?
Probably the Nets, right?
Oh, I would think so. Now, that's going to be a big factor in the first of the 5 hype trains that I'm bringing into the station. That's next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
All right. One of my favorite segments that we do, taking a look at the top trends in sports, figuring out which hype train we're boarding, which we're letting pass on by. Let's go to the hype train. First train into the station, the Brooklyn Nets are the hottest team in the NBA right now, as I predicted. So here's the hype train for you guys. Yeah, they're the hottest team in the NBA right now. You have to agree to that. First step to get on the hype train, second step to get on the hype train, and your new favorite for NBA champion.
But Do I have to believe that they're the hottest team in the NBA right now?
Well, they are the hottest team, objectively the hottest team right now. What is it, 6-game win streak?
7-game win streak.
7-game win streak?
Mm-hmm.
They're the hottest team in the NBA right now.
I think they're the most overrated team in the NBA right now.
How are you overrated?
Overrated!
When you stop! I don't even agree! Stop making me clap along with this! My body can't control it.
They will not. I am not boarding this train, Curtis. You cannot make me do it. I am not a hater. I think Curtis actually buys in with you, but I still believe that the Western Conference is the better conference and that you have three teams that I believe are better than the Nets, the Jazz, the Clippers, the Lakers. The Suns are playing pretty good, but I don't think they could hang with the Nets, but I think there's three teams in the Western Conference that are better than the Nets.
So which of those teams would you take to be, if you had to bet right now, you are guessing which team is going to win the NBA championship, NBA
Finals.
I'd
probably go with the Lakers or the Clippers.
What about between the two? You have to pick one. You have to pick one, Jake.
Well, if you're putting me on the spot, then I would say the Lakers.
I'm going Clippers. No, I'm not. I'm going Nets.
Clippers?
What?
With Paul George?
I just wanted
in the
to be
playoffs?
Difficult.
You just said that your hype train was all around your Nets fandom,
yeah,
and now you're saying that you don't even think that they're going to win?
I changed my mind. I don't think they're that good.
You are a strange, strange person.
Curtis, are you getting on the Brooklyn Nets train with me?
They are the hottest team in the league.
Thank you. That's the first step.
But I can't pick them as NBA
guys,
champions right now.
Guys,
the Lakers are at a point where they just kind of have to coast here. They got to get through Anthony Davis's injury. And then once he's back, once LeBron has all of his rest taken care of, it's theirs to lose at this point.
All right.
I can't get on this train.
All right, fine, fine. This train goes by with just one aboard, even though I'm now officially taking the Clippers to win. I've just decided this. I'm fully on board that train right after this. Just believe that. Believe that. Next train. All right. Oh, go figure. You talk about a quarterback controversy and messed up team situations, and of course the Houston Texans will be top of the order here. Batting off first for the awful team lead. It is the Houston Texans. Now, they have been pretty adamant, seemingly, that they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson clearly wants the heck out of there, with former Texans speaking out about ownership and about Jack Easterby. So here's the thing. Let's say that Deshaun Watson isn't traded. Let's say he doesn't get traded. He has to start the season with the Texans. Here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. If Deshaun doesn't get traded, he should sit out the season.
Yeah, I'm getting on that hype train. I really, truly believe that you have to make a statement. If you're Deshaun Watson, you have to fully get on this hype train because you have made a stand. You have publicly made a stand. And if you're going to back down from this, then you can kiss the opportunity to get traded the following year goodbye as well, because then the Texans are not going to take you seriously. And they believe, hey, we can just play this song and dance again the following year. You're going to come back and play when it comes to training camp time. So he has to stand his ground here if he wants to get traded, if he wants to get out of this multi-year deal with the Texans.
Curtis, one aboard.
One aboard.
Two aboard, actually. I'm
two
joining
aboard.
That, too. You got two aboard. You know what, Deshaun? Save yourself. Don't play for this horrendous organization if they aren't going to respect your wishes. They are a mess. They are a mess right now.
I'm hopping on as well.
That's right.
We're all aboard this one. Deshaun Watson deserves so much better than what the Texans have given him. And now he's got to play for Jack Easterby, who is clearly not in Deshaun Watson's camp. Cal McNair, he's not supporting his quarterback. Why would you ever want to play for an organization like that? And even if Deshaun Watson does sit out a season, he'll be, what, 27 next year?
Correct.
Still young, still in his prime.
Save your body.
Yeah. I don't see a bad thing that can come from Deshaun Watson sitting out.
I believe he's fully prepared to do it.
Fully aboard. Next train. Now, we all know the Dodgers are the current number one power seed in the MLB as a whole, correct? We're going Dodgers, Padres, 1 and 2. I think we can all somewhat agree. Maybe you have a different team in there, too, instead. But the Dodgers only got better when they acquired Trevor Bauer. But here is the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. This is from a very recent interview, David Sampson. Now, CBS Sports wrote about this, but it's actually part of a podcast, Nothing Personal, with David Sampson. He is a former Marlins president who was talking about Trevor Bauer to the Dodgers and said that Trevor Bauer's Twitter antics are becoming a distraction for him and the team. We all knew Trevor Bauer had a big personality when he was coming into L.A., so here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Trevor Bauer to the Dodgers is actually going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm not going to board that because I doubt that one pitcher is going to derail their World Series chances just because of his Twitter antics. If that's the case, you should have never signed the guy from the beginning because you knew exactly what he was going to be and who he is. So I'm not buying that whatsoever.
Yeah, the Dodgers are a strong enough organization to where they can absorb personalities like Trevor Bauer's in order to make it work. But I do think Trevor Bauer loves himself some Trevor Bauer. So I'll get on this train.
Ooh,
I will get on this train.
It's more fun with someone aboard train.
It is.
More
it
fun.
Is. I think Trevor Bauer is going to a market where he becomes a fish representative of the pond that he's going to. If he had gone, let's say, to Seattle, boy, there would have been a lot of focus on him here without really anybody else on that level of talent, at least at the major league level. So I think the Dodgers are a good landing spot for him to kind of hide some of that, but it's still going to be tough for them to, you know, make sure that he's on the straight and narrow on social media.
Do we have time for one more hype train?
We've got time.
Okay,
yes.
Let's be really fast with this one. I'll introduce it quickly. Last hype train in the station. Now, this was supposed to be the season where we're seeing all of these quarterback moves, the quarterback carousel this offseason. The most recent move was obviously Carson Wentz from the Eagles to Indianapolis. He gets a new start there. That followed a trade, a swap of Matt Stafford and Jared Goff for some additional picks for the Detroit Lions. But here's the hype train. Tell me if you're boarding. Carson Wentz to Indy? Yeah, that was actually the last major quarterback trade you're going to see this offseason.
Not boarding this train because,
Jake,
as we talked about before, Deshaun Watson is going
to
get traded. I just don't think that Nick Caserio, in his first year, this organization is going to want to deal with this Deshaun Watson mess forever. You might as well get it over with, over and done with as soon as possible so that you can rebuild, so that you can move forward and have some sort of direction. This can be your franchise moving forward. The fans are going to be livid, but you can try and move past that over the next couple years. With Deshaun Watson, this is a ginormous, ginormous headache that I don't think you're going to get cleared up.
Curtis.
Oh, I'd be so disappointed if that was the last quarterback trade. All this buildup for just Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and Matthew Stafford.
I know. Everyone's like, what about Watson? Where's Darnold going?
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, that would be the biggest letdown. I'm letting this train go by.
All right.
I want to see way more wheeling and dealing.
I think I'm going to let it go by, too. I think the next one, I do agree with you, Jake, that Deshaun Watson might be one of those guys. But I don't know. I feel like don't count out Sam Darnold. The Jets have lots of draft capital.
They do. I mean, they definitely could end up trading Sam Darnold. I wouldn't be overly shocked by that. But I do believe that they are in a position where it's not clear cut to them as of right now. They feel good about Sam Darnold. They feel like they can build around him with all the draft capital that you just mentioned. But at the same time, if there is a quarterback that they fall in love with in the process of evaluating the draft, you have to go for that. I don't think that you can pass up that opportunity to upgrade with a player control quarterback for Sam Darnold. I believe that would be a big mistake by the Jets.
All right. It is what I need to know. Here's how it works. You guys already know, but I'll remind you. You text in any question you have to 710-710. That's the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Any question. What I need to know is next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
It's what I need to know. Send your questions in, 710-710, Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line. Curtis, I just told Curtis this, Jake. That guy, the producer for, what was it, Get Up?
Get Up, yeah.
Who said that Fernando Tatis's contract with San Diego is bad for baseball because he's buried in the 27th market in the West Coast.
Yep.
Gross, disgusting, is on the new MLB Tonight podcast.
Really?
Gross.
The They're rewarding bad takes is what they're doing.
They are. Yeah, heck yeah. They very much are.
Someone did ask me, now obviously you guys don't have to answer this since it's about my very real boyfriend, Brian, an astronaut. They said, what does Brian like better, Tang or freeze-dried food in a tube? Well, as also
both
a child...
staples of an astronaut diet.
Exactly. Also, as a child of the 90s, I Brian likes Tang. So...
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
Put anything in it? Just Tang on its own?
Well, with water. You mix it with water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know a lot about Brian. That's not a hard question for me to ask.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, next question.
It's good. Good to know.
Let's see.
I feel
Curtis.
Like we don't know much about him.
If the Steelers traded 3 first-round picks. Okay, this is going to be a Russell Wilson one. 3 first-round picks plus Juju Smith-Schuster and Ben for Russ, would you be happy then?
Hell to the no, no, no. Come on, come on. Come on, hell no.
Come on.
To the no, no, no.
You guys are ridiculous.
No.
No?
No.
Your hate for Juju knows no bounds. What I need to know from the 206, is Brian real? Someone said, what I need to know, which of you three has the worst food takes?
Easily. It's not even close, Stacey Ross.
You better, come on.
It's not Curtis.
Jake, you eat like a 10-year-old.
It's not even close.
Jake's, I mean, Stacey doesn't like spaghetti.
Yeah, gross. Jake's favorite foods, though, are like spaghetti, Uncrustables, and rainbow sherbet.
I mean, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. You're 0 for 1.
3 for 3.
Yeah.
Speaking of food takes, Fred from Birch Bay says, you have to choose one, sushi or nachos. Sushi.
I don't know how. Like,
nachos.
They're not really
I still like
one that
question.
I would debate between. I don't even think they're like anywhere close, but for the sake of the question, Fred... Nachos. Absolutely, it's nachos.
Nachos are objectively not a great appetizer.
What?
Yeah. If you come up with a list of appetizers.
Not a great appetizers.
Hear me out. An appetizer list. You have jalapeno poppers. You have the baked potato skins or whatever they are. You have like garlic fries, wings. You're telling me nachos is better than any of those other ones? No. Nachos are a weak appetizer. They're
nachos
a weak appetizer.
Are so versatile. Unbelievably versatile.
You're
you
disgusting.
Great you nachos, like where they layer them. Not just like where you lay down a bed of chips and then put all your toppings on it. But no, you lay down the bed of chips, put toppings, put chips on it, and then more toppings, put in the oven. Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Curtis.
The thing with nachos.
Now we're talking.
No, there's a layer of chips at the bottom that will have nothing on them no matter
what. Not if you know what you're doing. If you do it right, that will never happen. And clearly you don't know how to put... nachos together. The other reason why I probably assumed that you like sushi is because
I love sushi.
It's kind of bougie.
It's not bougie.
It is. Hey, Curtis.
What?
Yeah. Curtis, let's go out and hang out. Let's
oh, you
get
guys
some
want? Yeah,
sushi.
Let me take my lunch
okay.
pail.
I'm going to drop right. like $40. Hey, Jake, let's go get some nachos. It's going to cost like, what, $8?
And it's going to be a mountain of nachos that's going to be filling and delicious.
It's not always $40, and you also get lots of omega-3 fatty acids or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, someone said tachos, by the way, which is tots and nachos.
Those are
better than regular nachos. So someone else said, pizza or cheeseburgers, pizza. That's a lot more difficult a decision, though. Nachos are bad. Both pizza and cheeseburgers are good.
How about this from the 206? What I need to know is, what is the one color you will not wear?
Ooh, this is a good question.
I'd say yellow.
Teal.
Yellow is not a good color on me.
Yellow. Yeah, that's a hard... Is that a good color on anybody?
I don't
yellow?
Think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Are you saying that because it's a good color on you?
That, and it's a good color on many people. Yellow is a great color.
I would say...
like purple?
Purple. I would probably agree with you. Yellow. Purple isn't necessarily a great one.
Someone said, is Marshawn Lynch a Hall of Famer? Hashtag bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down.
Bear down. Yes.
Yeah.
He is a Hall of Famer. I believe that we can take off our Seahawks sunglasses off and look at this objectively and say that what Marshawn Lynch brought to the game, he absolutely is a Hall of Famer. He changed the game. He was one of the more punishing running backs that this league has ever seen. And he is a guy still to this day, a running back, who was still getting endorsement deals. I mean, we rarely see that. I mean, he was not only a great player, but a great personality. I think he's done. I think he's accomplished enough in the NFL where he absolutely is a Hall of Famer.
What I need to know, is Jake one of those guys that says he lives in University Place but has a Tacoma address?
Nope. I live and reside in University Place.
I'm sure you do.
Right, a walk right down the road from Curtis High School. And, I'm in the heart of UP.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone said Texas orange is a bad color on everyone. I disagree. I love the burnt orange of Texas.
It's a good color.
I love their uniforms.
It's an unmistakable color, too. Like, when you see it, you automatically
think Texas.
That's the Longhorns.
Yeah, absolutely. Curly fries or JoJo's?
Ooh, this is a tough one. Like, this is actually a really
curly
good
fries.
Question.
No, it's, I didn't have to think for too long.
I gotta go JoJo's, especially from, like, a grocery store, like Safeway. Oh,
the thing they with hit different. The thing with JoJo's, not every JoJo, you can't just reach into a bat and have an equal... bag and have an equally good JoJo potato each time. Some of them are way too potatoy and soft.
The best was in high school when you could go off campus to go grab lunch. You go to Safeway and you go grab yourself some JoJo's. Oh yeah.
The chicken strips too.
Yes.
Pizza sticks.
Yes.
People
so good.
Asking if Brian's real. Like, they're doubting that my boyfriend is real.
Who would ever doubt that Brian is real?
I think it's because he's an astronaut doctor.
Yeah,
that people
and that you don't have any photos of him.
Well,
or...
you guys are always busy at a time when Brian's in town on Earth, and so you don't. We can never quite link up,
Stacey,
with you guys for a couple
days. We have been
in
lockdown for a year.
Well, it's like sometimes you didn't answer your phone last time Brian and I were here. We were looking to go like double date, and you guys were busy, so that's why you haven't met him. But no, he's real. So
okay,
So if it's not the Brooklyn Nets that are the hottest team and are going to be the champion, then who is? Jake took the Lakers, Curtis.
Well, I said that they'd be champs, but the team right now that I think's red hot and that's super fun to watch is the Utah Jazz. I mean, the Jazz are lighting it up right now. So that would be the team I would go for.
Now, Curtis, know that I will hold you to this.
I'm still so going Lakers.
Right. Okay, all the way? All the way.
Not that I want to go Lakers, but I think just the smart money's on them.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for us today. Do not go anywhere. Sports Talk continues next with Wyman and Bob. This has been Jake and Stacey on 710 ESPN Seattle.